It's like so much drama, dude.
And it like sucks for me, and I don't know what to do. Either way, I'm hurting like one.
Yeah, dude. It's a tough decision, man, but it's a predicament you have. It's the way it goes.
Laguna Beach, Season 1, Episode 1, A Black and White Affair, Fully Decked.
This is Coming Clean, a podcast about the real Orange County, with your hosts, Sam and Marty.
Hey, welcome to the Coming Clean podcast. I'm Sam.
I'm Marty over here, and we are on the phone this time doing this high tech, so hopefully the audio isn't bad. But yeah, it's finally here, the podcast.
2017.
So happy new year to everyone, and a happy new podcast, Sam.
Oh, I can't wait. This is going to be a great experience for us all. I've already learned so much from this first episode.
Nice. So let's, I guess we can jump right in here. So how'd you watch the first episode? Did you watch it online? I bought the DVDs.
Yeah, I ended up watching online. Not a sponsor. MTV had some free episodes online that everybody can, if they have their own TV provider and an email address, can watch along with us.
Nice. Yeah, so I've watched it about, at least the first episode, I watched it about six times just because I wanted to get a good feel for all the characters already and take some good notes. But yeah, it was a lot more entertaining and fast-paced than I expected, actually.
Yes, I actually, same thing. I've watched it probably about close to eight times. Nice. And just going through every episode and picking out parts out of a 20-minute episode was extensive. I'd never even thought about how long this would possibly take, but I was thinking I was going to be so enwrapped in all the drama, but it was more of the drama actually was second fiddle to all the perfect behind the scenes and funny quotes that went out through the whole episode.
Yeah, I will say, just a caveat to all the listeners, you'll hear me talking a lot about the editing. Probably that'll be a recurring theme, just because the editing for this show is amazing, whether you take that as a good thing or a bad thing.
Oh yeah, the jump cuts, the longing stares with the random audio levels going all over the place. Yep. I think if I took a half an hour class, I could probably put one together.
Probably, and I hope we don't get those comments about this podcast. So, so I think we can jump in. Luckily, the DVD had some write-ups about each episode, so we're going to kick off. I will read the DVD introduction and synopsis of this episode.
I can't wait for the drama to unfold.
Neither can I. All right, here we go. From the DVD, welcome to Laguna Beach and the life of eight high school friends who were born and raised in this beautiful seaside town. As the senior girls prepare for one of their infamous hotel parties, Steven is torn by his attraction to two girls, Kristen and Elsie. After Kristen confronts him about his night with Elsie, sparks fly as they all attend the black and white party. So right off the bat, this synopsis is really all over the place. I mean, it's indicative of the episode, which is, you had mentioned the jump cuts and everything, and I had mentioned the fast pace of just everything happening within like this 20-minute span. But yeah, I think this write-up is a perfect encapsulation with its incoherence of what's about to come this season.
But like at the same time, how could you not be enthralled by the idea of eight high school friends, you know, born and raised in a California town, pretty wealthy, and just part hotel parties and things that probably don't exist in normal high schools.
Yeah, and we will jump into those parties and these eight friends after this quick break. Would you be embarrassed? Think I'm being careless if I said you're all I want more?
Fingertips and collarbones. Hey, welcome back from that brief interlude. Marty and Sam here, and now we're on to, let's start talking about the episode. What do you think?
Well, first of all, they opened up with a disclaimer saying that the people, the drama, and the locations are all real.
Which that's was,
there was a great disclaimer at the beginning. It's not like viewer discretion advised. It's all of these things are real, which is hilarious because on the DVD extras, which I have not watched yet, but I had read the components of it, there's a full reel of the casting video. So
yeah, how do they MTV get away with this?
I mean, we watched it and we're rewatching it and we bought the DVDs, so I guess they win.
Those bastards.
Well, it was definitely worth it. And so we kick off with LC on the voiceover talking about each of her friends.
Supposedly these are all the eight must be the eight friends that we were talking about, but right. It was just perfect. Laguna, LC, or Lauren, as she started off, walking on the beach, enjoying a sunset stroll, some waves crashing in. Nothing better.
Yeah, and I think you get all the typical archetypes of your high school experience here. That I think that adds on to the appeal here with, you know, you have your jocks and you have, as LC describes herself, she's the nice girl.
True, but she's not taking any crap her senior year. She's fighting back.
Yeah, and that was also, it's something I forgot, actually. I didn't realize that they were a year apart, so that definitely adds to the dynamic, especially with someone like Steven, also a senior, going off to college, and Kristen being a year younger. So it's an interesting dynamic that was set up pretty immediately.
Yeah, I think they were definitely looking for a season two out of that one.
True, good call.
That's just planning on their part.
And another interesting part for me was LC describing herself as the nice girl and just wondering, and we'll hear it later on in the episode, I guess, of how Kristen would describe LC and if Kristen would say the same about herself. In Kristen's perspective, is she the nice girl or is it generally accepted from the group that LC is the nice one and Kristen's the hot one?
I mean, watching this episode and now that we're kind of discussing it, at first, you know, through the whole episode, I'm like, all right, Lauren's the main character. She is the nice girl. But there's times that she's pretty mean to Kristen. And maybe Kristen isn't fully at fault.
Okay. That's just
something I just threw out there right now. And right. Something that maybe we can keep this on our mind through the whole series. Yeah. I don't know.
Yep, definitely with LC sort of branding herself as the nice girl, we're going to have to hold her up to that standard now.
Yes. I mean, she has a high standard to begin with, just from, you know, where she's gone in her life. But, right.
True. Yeah. Although Kristen turned out pretty fine, too, just, you know, in her defense.
That's a foreshadowing for the rest of the segment. And then basically, at the end, we have Lauren wrapping up into her, and then right into one of my favorite, and possibly yours, intro songs, Come Clean by Hilary Duff.
For those of you who don't follow, that's where the title of this podcast has come from.
That song, when she talks about the rain coming down and washing away...
I did not expect you to. Sorry to cut you off. But I did not expect you to analyze this song, but please keep going.
I mean, it's just a perfect thing that, you know, when the rain comes down and washes away all the pain, you know, we're starting new. And I think it just probably really means so much to these people. I mean, if you're telling me if any of these characters on the show doesn't have Hilary Duff Come Clean on their podcast, on their iPod or whatever, Spotify, that's a lot.
All right. So after the intro, we go straight to some party planning activities.
Oh, I think I've watched this scene, like, even though I watched the full episode maybe eight times, I've watched this scene like 50. It's absurd. I couldn't even, the first time I watched it, I couldn't get past this scene because I was just writing down so many notes and there was just so many good bits. taking place.
All right, please. My one note here was the Morgan seems annoying note, but yeah. Please keep going.
Just off the top of my head, right? One, when Christina and Lo are talking about that, Christina, they want to do a dress up party.
Yep.
But this party should be a dress up party.
Oh, so, man, I did not even get that. That's so hilarious.
When they're like, let's do a dress up party. You know, it's in the tone of the voice, right. Thinking maybe a costume, because Lo starts saying, didn't we do that, boardroom execs or whatever.
Right.
Party. And then Christina's like, no, like a dress up party. And they're like, oh, yeah, like we could, you know, like wear like nice clothes and dresses and stuff. I kind of got hung up on that for a little bit.
All right.
I got confused between, I mean, I would have been confused too between, you know, dress up and a dress up party.
You would have been the one guy in like the weird clown costume walking into that party.
Yeah, or I would have been in like a penguin suit because it was a black white affair. But the dress up party, I'm coming in a penguin onesie.
You have planned this out.
Yeah, it was. Like I said, this is a big thing on my mind that I couldn't get past.
Okay.
So one of the things I wrote down, they want to let in 20 people they know, and then 10 people in case they forget you.
See, that for me, now that I'm, like you said, we're 12 years removed from this, that is just a smart move, experience planning either meetings or parties myself. Having that contingency, let's plan for 10 more, is freaking genius.
Yeah, that's like ordering a pancake at brunch. Everybody's going to want a piece of the pancake, but you get a pancake for the table, you know?
Exactly.
The only other thing that, you know, I want to stake my flag in is when we talk about the editing and quotes, Lo brings up Kristen's name. She says, what about Kristen?
Oh, and then she coughs?
She says Kristen, Elle does a cough. Yeah, yep. A perfect.
Yep. Yeah, that was.
Which is, I don't know if that was on time or back editing, but it was so perfect. And then cut to Elsie's face, and she's known she's done something funny.
Mm-hmm.
And I laughed along with you.
Yes, that definitely stood out to me too. But yeah, the visual of it was perfect. But once you listen to the sound, I had my earphones on watching it, and the ambiance behind them definitely did not match. So I can pretty much confirm with about 98% certainty, and I'm no audio engineer, but those two scenes were not filmed at the same time, or at least in sequence. I have here, I wrote out hotel, their houses are dope, which, you know what, after seeing the hotel that they went into and comparing that to the houses that they own, I mean, I would not have spent, I mean, they do have the money, but their houses are so dope, and they're booking this hotel room, not even the full hotel.
A suite.
Oh, sorry. They're booking like one hotel suite, and they're all kind of just sitting around, but we're jumping ahead here. But yes, that was my big comment there. After the party planning, we end up looking at Kristen in the pool.
Yeah, which going back to Elsie saying Lauren is the hot one, that would be the scene for that.
I agree.
My only issue was when Kristen got a phone call.
Mm-hmm.
Like who called people back in high school? I think I maybe talked to like 3 people on the phone before, and I've never made plans on the phone. And it was all through the T9 text conversation. So I would have preferred if there was some good editing and they had a whole T9 conversation rather than a phone call. I mean, I want to see images of like text 1 out of 20, because that was a long ass conversation.
True. Yes, it was.
For just to talk about plans, you know.
So anyway, my question for this scene, which comes up, is she at a different spot in terms of defining her relationship with Steven as he is, because she seems a lot more into it than he seems to be.
They said that they were like, I think she was quoted as saying, Alex asked, "Oh, how are you and Steven?" She's like, "Good, really good."
Right. And that led me to the question, if he's sort of in between them, then Kristen definitely seems more into the relationship than Steven has been.
Yes. And that can be where you kind of get to the point of maybe Kristen isn't necessarily the bad or the villain in this whole thing. True. She's just at the, you know, she's on one side, Lauren's on the other. The True. Bad guy is, I think it's Steven is probably the bad guy for, you know, mixing emotions.
Right. True. True. Good point. Good point. And speaking of Steven, we visit him at his job, which I had written out, respect to Steven for having a high school job. Because just the look of these people and the houses they live in, and he still drives like a ridiculous car, but that's probably his parents' money, but still, mad respect for him having a job, whether or not that was part of the script or he actually had a job. One of my questions when we have him on the show.
How was that job?
Yes, and if it was real.
Yeah, so Steven's polo with a shirt underneath.
Yep.
Was high fashion, and it's a fashion alert. Putting it on, I was probably rocked that until I was 21, you know, in college still, because that's all I had. Mm-hmm. Extra warm, you know, always layer up.
Yep.
Smart fashion tip right there.
All right, so now we're at Trey's at his barbecue.
Oh, it's it. You know, this is we went up high with the planning party, and then we kind of dropped down for a couple scenes. Mm-hmm. Now we're rising back up.
Yep, yep. So we're introduced to your boy.
Holster.
Yes, sir. Party
enthusiast, which if I could have that as my subtitle for the rest of my life, I would die a happy man.
Yep, and okay, so what was weird to me at this scene is LC is the only senior there, and she's trying to get people there. My question is, what the hell is a senior doing? And this is going to be a recurring annoyance for me, is why are the seniors trying to be cool with the juniors? It should be the other way around. I do not like that dynamic. That's not the way life is.
But isn't Trey in senior year as well, though? She's going to a senior house pre-game.
Right, and so is Steven. That was just very confusing for me, because she was on the phone and she was like, "I'm the only senior here."
Oh,
that was confusing to me, and that's why are you trying to be cool with juniors? They're a senior. They should be all over you.
But maybe Steven set her up. You know, he was like, "Hey, come hang out."
True.
Dieter is an odd duck. Mm-hmm. He, you know, he's Steven's wingman that we're seeing. You know, brings him into the fold. But you know he. He had this weird conversations with LC throughout, and Polster came in with his once again. Polster came in wearing a Heineken hat, which was
not a sponsor.
High fashion,
yeah,
not a sponsor, but
and that holds up. I would wear that hat too if I was enthused by parties.
Exactly, yeah. So they had a whole conversation when like LC's there. He asked like, "Do you not want me here?" Which was weird. And right. Then when they're talking about doing the bubble bath.
We talk about that for a second?
Let's dive in. I mean, that's one, going back, that's a party enthusiast thing to do, is to take a bubble, to do, when you say bubble bath, and then you plan to go to a hotel. Well, but
that's just irresponsible then.
Well, yeah, I would, one, never go to a hotel and do that, because that scares the living hell out of me. And point two, Dieter was saying, and Lauren was like, well, first Lauren goes, "Oh, that's kind of mean." And then Dieter's like, "Oh, I'll write a sorry letter."
Oh, like, I did not catch that, but.
But like, how's a sorry letter going to fix anything, you know? Before we move on, I just wanted to point out one little. This is going to be called Sam's Easter Eggs.
All right.
I like to point out things like in the background or funny little quips that. Maybe you haven't seen on the first glance.
Okay.
Most underrated character is that when it's transitioning scenes, there's a guy at the back of when it's transitioning to from the end of the party. there's a guy in the back who is in a suit without a tie on. He's on the phone, and his buddy comes up and sax taps him right at the end.
I'm going to have to rewatch this.
It was the best thing ever, because one, that kid had the like probably the best fashion at the party wearing a suit.
True.
And two, his buddy comes up with sax tap, and you're like, come on, man, like just trying to talk on the phone. That whole scene, everything was just pure production perfection.
And that certainly resonated more with me. That looked a lot more like parties I had gone to in high school.
Yeah, you know, grill out, cook some burgers. Yeah. Steven was going to cook a steak for himself, which I don't know who's buying him the steak, but that's an aggressive move, I would say, at a house party.
True. All right, and then now we get into Kristen talking with Alex as they do their nails, which is something that I'm sure you can relate to, Sam. What stuck out to me here, you had mentioned this earlier, so two things for me was Alex saying that he likes you so much and he's saying it, again, feels inconsistent to where Steven is being portrayed as.
Yep.
So either that's the magic of editing or Kristen is in a completely different planet to where Steven is at. And the other one is Kristen, finally, I get the description that I've been waiting for from Kristen's perspective of LC, in which she is described as a stuck-up little brat.
I mean, those are just hurtful words, I would say. Like,
yeah, that's... Yes, it really is. But then I also think that I guess what's nice for one person is stuck-up for another.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because, you know, you don't want to side with Kristen at this point where we just met these characters. But, you know, looking back at the episode, maybe Kristen, I mean, Elsie is possibly a stuck-up, which I think, you know,
will be the judge of that.
Possibility, you know?
Yeah, we'll be the judge of that later on in the season.
Yeah.
All right, anything else sticking out to you here?
Other than that, you know, Steven, that he likes her, but yet he's still playing with Elsie, and it seems like Kristen kind of knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a little more self-aware than, you know, she's made out to be on the first go.
Yep, certainly a very high school dynamic of now that we're older, I think I would just be like, yo, what's the deal? Is this like for serious or are we just chilling? In those exact words, that's how I'm going to propose to my future wife.
Yeah, I mean, yo, you chill? Oh, yeah, sweet.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's just how things are done.
Absolutely. Okay, so then we're back at Trey's house, I'm assuming, and they're talking over drinks, on that long table, and they're invited to the party.
No, it was more what's so cringeworthy with that invitation was LC trying to explain the black and white party.
Yes.
She was like, it's a black and white affair. You guys got to wear black and white.
Will there be, what was the popular drink in 04? What were we drinking in high school? Now I'm
blanking.
I meant something more festive, something Polster would drink. Obviously Heineken for him.
Yeah, he's sponsored.
Yes. Okay, so now we're at LC's house. After the commercial break, we're at LC's house, and they're installing, in one of the most baller moves that you can ever do, installing a tree via crane. Yeah.
A palm tree, and I think her dad with that Hawaiian shirt is, once again, high fashion.
Classic rich dad.
Yeah, classic rich dad who's designing his own house, putting in a palm tree.
And my other note here was, again, another tip of the hat to the editing here, but, well, actually, no, it's not for the editing, but actually a good comeback for Steven when LC goes, you're on my bed, when they're in her hypothetical bedroom, and then he just goes, nice.
I mean, that's just the perfect, that's the only response. There's no other response to that.
Yeah. All right. So besides being very jealous of her house and admiring her father's fashion sense, anything else out of this scene?
Well, I think this is a good segue into the next scene, but going along with, and we'll discuss this later on, but just the whole music in the episodes that they brought out. They had a big hit of Five for Fighting, 100 Years.
They sure did.
It went perfectly along with when they're talking about going to college and how, oh, you're going to have a little nice dorm room in San Fran, but then you can come back to this whole place. And then Lauren's like, yeah, but I'm going to, like, I don't know if I want to, or something along those lines. And then Five for Fighting's playing in the background. How could you not, you know, well up and be like, man, going off to school, I wish Five for Fighting played, you know, when I left.
True. We were more on the Soul Patrol years. Snow Patrol, not Soul Patrol. Soul Patrol. Going back to the 70s.
This is our religious podcast.
Yes. The Soul Patrol podcast. Okay.
Noted.
Yeah. Okay, I guess this is a good time for a break right now before we come back to talk about the rest of the episode. Back, and now we are going from LC's house, and now we are going to a restaurant where Kristen and Talon are talking. Your favorite, Talon. So this is where Kristen brings up that she's worried about Stephen because he was seen lurking around LC's house.
Yeah, I don't know. This whole scene of them just sitting there and basically talking about what this brings in for me is it brings in a fourth party that is kind of lurking in the background, that, right. You know, it's like the main three, but then there's this fourth Talon character, kind of mysterious, mm-hmm. You know, kind of a typical Laguna Beach guy. But then he's telling about how he calls Kristen, but she's with Steven. And whenever he calls Lauren, she's with Steven, and he's like hooked up with both and that, but then he's only mainly hooking up with Kristen, and he's been her only girl. He's, you know, maybe he should move on from that.
Yeah, also when he complains that their town is too small, like, is it, though?
Yeah, I mean...
They're in California.
I mean, how big is Laguna Beach?
I don't know, but I'm assuming they had more than the 19 kids in my high school class.
All right, I just looked at Laguna Beach in 2013, had 23,000 people.
Oh, wow. Okay, so I apologize, Talon. If you're listening, thank you for listening, and I apologize for making fun of your... assessment that the town.
Yeah, but you're in, but you're in California. Like, you're not like you're in the middle of the desert, you know, where you have to drive 2 hours to see like the next person.
Right. So, are you saying that he should just drive up to like Anaheim and pick up some chicks at Disney or something?
I don't know what chicks he's picking up at Disney, but I don't. He could certainly do that.
I don't know, but there's a good bubblegum shrimp company in that area.
Not sponsored.
Not a sponsor, but if you're listening, thank you for listening, and I had a great time in 2014. Okay, so now we're back with Elsie and her crew, and they are scouting the hotel, which looks like a pretty nice hotel, but not as nice as any of their houses.
No, and they're heading in with Jan, who was the business manager, mm-hmm. or Jan, not totally sure, but he seemed pretty German, so I'm going with Jan.
Yeah, I was going to say, based on the accent, it's probably Jan. But
he was saying that the typical room for the surf and sand resort is about $700 a night. Mm-hmm. I did some research.
Okay.
And I think I found the same suite. Okay. And if you booked it for one night, mm-hmm. the same suite looked like the deck. It was pretty spot on, mm-hmm. It was about $800.
Oh, so not bad.
And that was not including any of the special packages that came along with it.
Ah.
The only other point I have here that, not sure if this is very inappropriate, but I think it could have been added in at the end.
I am looking at my notes, and I know exactly what you're talking about. You can go. Yeah,
where Jan's like, this is a really big deck. And Lauren's like, yeah, this is I love this big deck. Yep. And then Lo goes, yes, I love big decks.
Yep.
Or like, oh, I love this big deck. Just the whole audio editing of that. Was clearly it was added on top for some, you know, if you're just watching through, you may have not picked up on it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is the, I think, like I said earlier, judge the editing any way you like. I will just say it's amazing, whether it's amazingly good or amazingly bad. I think this is the best of both, this particular one. And speaking of big decks, the boys are shopping now.
Was it a thrift store?
Yeah, I think it's like a fancy Goodwill.
I mean, I've never heard such a thing, but it looked pretty nice with those nice couches.
Yeah.
If I was working there, I probably would have kicked them out for loitering a little too long, but that's just me.
I think they bought something, though.
Oh, did they? I don't know. I didn't see them walk out. I can't guarantee. Maybe they stole it. I don't know.
I thought that's where Steven ended up buying that Repug jacket.
No, the Repug jacket is Trey's because it's Trey's blue jacket.
Oh, I did not pick up on it. Okay, so they were probably loitering. All right.
Yeah, listen to the details.
All right. So this is where they start talking about the LC versus Kristen dynamic with Steven.
Yep, and Steven's clearly torn, where he goes into detail about how Kristen is fun, he loves to hook up with her, and she's around for a good time, but LC is girlfriend material.
Yep, and again, going back to my big questions earlier, and my sort of read of Kristen, and that she's at a completely different place, and a lot more serious place, I think, in the relationship than Steven is.
It's just adding, they're just building a house of drama, layer after layer after layer. But know who's along for the ride? Polster. And Polster is fueling that fire. And in our intro we had today, one of the best quotes, I think, from Polster throughout the whole show, where he says, "It's a tough choice, man. It is a predicament you have." And then he kind of yawned, and he did like a, It's the way it goes. And you know what? That's the way to live life. It's just the way it goes.
All right, and throwing the question back to you then, LC versus Kristen, take a stand. Who do you pick if you're Steven at that very moment?
At that very moment, mm-hmm. I think I am going with LC.
Okay.
Just because she's been my friend, we've had a good time together, and I don't think LC is only just girlfriend material, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think she's the full package and bringing more to the table than Kristen, and we're going on to college together, you know, something that you guys can build a connection now and really develop in college.
Okay, acceptable.
But we're just assuming that he's going to make a choice between the two, though.
True. I don't know if you're trying to tell me something.
Could you give me a third option of saying maybe he picks both?
Well, that's insane. This isn't Big Love, man.
This is
the goofy. Not in that way.
No, not in that way. I don't know. Like, we'll find out. Stay tuned.
All right, and now we get into the big confrontation between Kristen and Steven over dinner.
Yeah, I mean, this is another, like I said, the whole episode is high points, low point, high point, low point. And this here is a high point.
Mm-hmm.
A ton of drama. And here we see, as I was saying earlier, Steven is clearly the bad guy. He really messes up.
Mm-hmm.
He starts choking and coughing while he's just trying to even talk and explain his way out of whatever situation he has.
He's like the guy on the Jinx.
Yeah, I mean, he's in the wrong. He knows it. He got caught, and he's just still trying to make his way through. And so, being 18, you know.
In his defense, to be fair to Steven here, like we said, the context is he's 18. This is very typical dude arguing when he starts fixating on the technicality that he was asleep at 9 and they did not see her at 9:30 or 9:15. He was there around, you know, 7:15. I will say I have been there and just finding the one technicality that can get me out of the situation.
You probably should have went to law school then.
Oh, man. So anything else besides I was just very amused by him arguing a technicality, yes, while sort of admitting but not admitting that he did something wrong.
I mean, you just have to feel for Kristen throughout the whole time. You know, you caught your so-called boyfriend in a lie. You got all this details from now I'm talking it through my head, and I feel bad for Kristen, where she's hearing about Elsie and Steven hooking up, but she heard that through Talon, who is her hookup, and that she's been hooking up with consistently. Wow. Mm-hmm. So now it's like, at first I felt bad for her, and now I don't know who I feel bad for.
But was the Talon hookup before Steven, or?
Well, he's saying that she's the only girl that he hooks up with. Oh, Talon was saying that he only hooks up with one girl, and that's Kristen.
Right.
And I would lead that to believe that she's still hooking up with guys too. You know, the knife cuts both ways.
All right. Well, that's more questions that hopefully will be answered later on. All right. So after that high tense confrontation, we light up things a little bit, and we're preparing for the party in a very tight hotel bathroom. Which, again, I ask the question, why don't you do it in your frickin' house, which is probably huge?
And you're like a walk-in closet. Yep. And enough dresses to pick from.
Yeah, and, I mean, I get that it's the whole experience, but, I mean, this is from me looking at very rich people taking things for granted.
Yeah, I just could not relate to this scene. but this did bring up a good, you know, this is good writing here from whoever the writing team or the producers, when they start talking about all the girls are like, oh, I wish I had a good dress.
Oh, yep.
A good white dress, mm-hmm. but all the white dresses are trashy. And, but like, I mean, for me personally, whether a dress is trashy or not, if you're going to a black and white party, you have to wear white.
Really?
Yeah.
Hold on. Okay. Go on. What's your reasoning here?
One, P. Diddy has a party, an all-white party.
Well, that's all everybody white. There's no other option for black.
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
Black is pretty standard. Whenever you have a chance to go all in and get, like, something sick, which is white, which is, like, pristine and so crisp, why would you not go for the full white?
All right, that's a good argument. Couple of rebuttals here on my end.
Okay.
One, they'll probably be drinking... they're probably going to be drinking some boxed wine, and if that spills on your expensive white dress, that's a whole nother problem for you tomorrow.
Hopefully they have a box of white wine to go with that, because then you pour it on the red wine, boom, cleaned. Next thing you know, you're returning that dress the next day. Or suit.
True.
You know.
No, and number two,
okay,
this was, I believe, filmed around the summer or after the summer.
Okay.
I can't tell. Is it technically after Labor Day? And white would be tacky.
Also, technically, isn't every day in California summer? Just throwing it out there.
True. Well, we have the benefit of being guys, so I will wear a black suit with a white shirt.
Pretty generic. I'm pretty upset by that, but, you know.
I mean, if I was going all out and I had the money to rent a nice suit, then I would go with the black pants, black shirt, white jacket, black lapels.
Fun fact, I wore my high school graduation, I wore a white coat, black pants, maroon cummerbund, and maroon bow tie, and it was fire flames.
Nice. Is the body still in the trunk?
Can't be discussed. Can't be discussed.
All right. Okay, so the girls have prepped, and now the boys...
yeah,
making their boys way party out. Hell yeah.
My boy Trey with his hat.
Right.
Double pop collar. Everything he probably made because he's into fashion. Clearly drinking something brown in a water bottle, I would say.
That's Coca-Cola.
Okay, yeah. I transfer all my Coca-Cola from the can and everything into a bottle.
Yes.
That's like a Poland Spring bottle. You know, mm-hmm. That's the only way to drink it.
Yes. I mean, we're not classy like them, so let's not pass judgment here.
Well, okay. Judgment's been passed.
Well, I mean, that's what this whole show is about. All right, anyway, go on.
But then, for some odd reason, we have this big breaking of cologne by Steven. A breaking of Dieter's cologne by Steven in his car.
Yep.
Which, had some of the one of the weirdest conversations, and then spirals into them talking about putting a baby next to a car. Would he run over it? And then Steven, which he has a right to do, of questioning why would you ever put a baby next to a car?
Right. It was very weird analogy, and my note there was weird analogy. But also, going back to the expensive cologne, and this was Dieter's cologne, you said?
Yes.
For him, and I'm assuming he's pretty well off, that is a bottle of CK1, and I know because that is the only cologne that I have used since fifth grade. That's not that expensive, buddy. I mean, it's not the
I would be pretty spray. Devastated.
I mean, yes, I would be very upset, but again, $35 is a stretch for us, but for these rich kids. Well, actually, can someone chime in, either a listener or someone who's in the know, how did the bottle of cologne get by the car? I don't get it.
Yeah, it was in a shoe. Why is it in a sneaker by the wheel of a car? Nobody will ever know. It's like, who shot JFK?
Right.
Who put the bottle of cologne by the wheel?
It's exactly like that.
We'll never know.
All right. And finally, we're on our way to the party, and we're here at the most quiet party that I have ever seen.
Yeah, it looks pretty sad.
It really did.
Like, could have they turn off like a couple lights? Maybe right. Through like a it couple would, like scarce on a lampshade or something, you know, get a little ambiance.
It was pretty bright. Yeah, and also
I felt bad.
Again, I bring this up because this is not how God intended high school life, but why are the seniors just hanging on the juniors? Because the juniors sort of dictated the life of the party.
When yeah, they brought the party and they taketh away.
Mm-hmm. So I still don't like that dynamic. I don't think that's right.
Yeah, I mean, they gotta do better. Really step up their game. Like, this is how you're going out of high school and you want to be remembered. And this is the bit they were saying, this is the big party of the year.
That is an awful party. Even One Tree Hill, where they were not rich, threw more baller parties than that.
Well, you do with what you can in Laguna, and clearly getting a suite at a really nice hotel is the best you can.
Should have gone to Disney.
Should have probably gone to Trey's house. Would have made better sense.
Stayed at Trey's house, or they could have driven, stayed in the county, go to Anaheim, hit up some Bubba Gump. Okay, so the juniors finally get there, and I had written down great beeline by Kristen as she enters the party, just ghosting past LC.
Yeah, big move. Yep, that's a power move.
And
if you're in a white dress, if you're a white dress, you make those power moves.
And that's
just what it is.
She took her claim of the bed, which is another power move.
Yep. Nobody can have fun in this room. This is the no fun zone.
You know, to break the silence, they start yelling and say, let's have a dance party, which was...
Yeah, because at a party, I want somebody to yell at me, dance. and then kind of dance. Like, not my thing.
All right. This is old man Marty speaking, but I was really hoping that Jan would burst in and say, you promised this wouldn't be a dance party.
I think that would have been, if this was a comedy show, this would have been a better writing.
True. If I was writing it, Jan would be a main character and just a thorn on their side.
Oh, everywhere they go, any party, Jan would pop in.
Yeah, Jan runs Laguna Beach. So they tried to dance, only... Yep. Morgan and the other one danced, really.
Yeah, it was pretty lame.
And then Kristen starts causing a scene now.
Yep. Because
I want to get out of here!
Running all over the place. I'm going to the back deck. Let's get out of here. It's been 5 minutes. Like, come on,
she's the only
chill.
One in white.
Like, you're in a hotel room.
So
like,
this is a bad move on LC's end, I think, because she had the upper hand when she was just playing it cool and chatting with Steven and keeping him there, which was pissing off Kristen.
Yep.
But once Kristen started causing a scene, she should have just ignored her. But once Kristen picked up that LC was getting pissed at her too, that's when she was like, we're leaving. And they
Cut it off. Wrangle it up. Let's bring the party. And they left. No, mm-hmm. The whole party got decimated after that.
Yep, and yep, my final note there was party looks boring. like I said, I was in a rural part of this country, and we had much better parties than that.
Yeah, and you're still calling that party boring.
Yep.
That speaks volumes to their party throwing ability. A couple notes that are coming to mind. Okay. One, pollster wasn't there. Everybody basically decided to leave. They said they're going to stop in, then go to pollsters after.
Okay.
Maybe that goes to your party being boring. Pollster wasn't there.
True. Oh wow, good point. Wow. We're gonna have to rate these parties now on the funness that they look and pollster's presence.
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about just from the parties in the show, Trey's party was way better than this one.
Oh yeah, 100%. And how can you have a party without the one guy who is enthused by them?
Yeah, it's a shame that he wasn't even on the. He should have at least been in the 10. You know, if not the full 20, he should have been in that fringe 10. He would have been number
one on the list.
Yeah, yeah, he should have been number one. Second point, Trey looking fly in that crazy hat of his.
Mm-hmm.
Big Trey fan still.
Yep.
Two, this could be some foreshadowing that there's a girl named Jen Bunny in the hills.
Okay.
I think we saw a couple glimpses of young Jen Bunny in there.
Whoa.
Playing out there. I know she was friends at Laguna, and I was pretty shocked that I was like, she looks pretty familiar. I think that's Jen Bunny. We'll have to take a little more research into it.
Man, you're going to have to send me screenshots of all of these Easter eggs, man.
It'll be on our website. Next point. Could be one of my favorite guys, similar mm-hmm. to the guy who got the nut tap.
Oh my God, I think I'm going to talk about this guy when I talk about my favorite quote, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. Because I think we're on the same wavelength here.
Okay, it's the closing scene.
Yes, closing scene. It's the final word.
Okay, all right, let's.
Yeah. So let's go into it. Let me just set it up.
Okay.
So prior to the closing scene, there was a moment when Elsie is on the deck and she's talking to, I think, Steven and this other blonde-haired guy wearing just a T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Question, why doesn't he look dressed up? How did he get in? I thought if he had to be fully decked, you weren't being let in.
True, but he was in a black shirt.
He was just in a black tee. Like, came from probably the surf and tan or whatever they're called, whatever Steven's right. job is.
Yep.
But all he talked about was going skinny dipping and how he's excited for it. He seemed like he was the skinny dipping guy.
Yep, and I'm really hoping he makes more appearances.
Now, bringing back, is Lauren our, I guess, protagonist, the good girl? This scene, I feel bad.
Yes, I do too.
But at the same time, you shouldn't say, I'm going to manhandle people and throw people out. That's also pretty mean.
True, but I will say that she was nice enough to invite Kristen because she knew it would make Steven happy.
True.
And good for Kristen point. To cause that scene was kind of unfair on her part, too.
And Steven should have, you know, maybe put a little kibosh on it, be like, hey, can like either don't come or can we just like be chill for a little bit? Like, let's get through senior year and we'll take it from there.
Yep. We're going to go into some detail and deep dives of some more Easter eggs and some of our favorite things from the episode after this break. I don't know if you still think of me. Come on, come on over. How you used to love me, loving me. Come on,
come on over. Hey, welcome back. Now let's go through a couple games that we like to play. All right, Marty, what is your best or most surprising fashion from the episode?
Trey wearing the button-down shirt with a sweater on top, but he had his collar popped up, which I think was a pretty iconic look for the time, one that I surely rocked.
Yeah, I mean, it's in my high school, we used to have a thing called Connecticut Tuesdays when everybody would rock one collar, two collar, three collar if you're super... You know, you're super fly, you're rocking three.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, I would agree. Trey's fashion sense, and from what I remember throughout the rest of the season, his style was just so unique for the time, but yet fit in perfectly with the early 2000s.
What else you got?
Yeah, moving on. One of my favorite bits that, you know, kind of I think we'll get further on throughout the season was kind of our favorite song from the episode.
I will go with something that surprised me was Von Penn, I Can't Help Myself.
Oh, yes.
You're right.
I had this as I was going through. I mean, this is my number four.
Oh,
I
wow.
listed out several numbers.
Okay.
Well, it was my top four, and this was my number four. But as I was going through, and I'm trying to think of what would be my favorite song, this popped out right away. It was I had no clue what this song was.
Me neither.
As I was listening to it, I was thinking, this is like a girl version of Bob Dylan.
Whoa. That is another scorching hot take right here.
Just the way she would sing, like, I can't help myself.
Von Penn, if you're listening, thank you for listening. And that is a scorching hot take. Congratulations.
Yeah. I mean, how was that for you?
It was. I mean, that definitely stuck out for me. So that was my pick. What about yours? What was your number one?
So my number one, I was, as alluded to earlier, was by Jay Rilla, Playa Playa.
Right.
I just liked how it had that nice, you know, early 2000s bounce to it. Definitely brought the party, fit in perfectly. Well, as we said, didn't fit perfectly with the dancing. But if that came on a party today, I'd probably get up and start, you know, shaking my rump a little bit.
We'll have some to other... look for where he is now.
Yeah, I think he's not around. I did some slight.
Jay Rilla, hopefully Jay Rilla, right?
Yeah, if you're listening, please.
Thank
subscribe.
You for listening. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get into my last two favorite topics.
Okay.
I think these will be going on for every episode going forward. For sure. Who was your MVP of the week?
Okay, so I was torn between two people. So one was Steven. So Steven, just because he was pretty much in control, so that's a common answer. So he was pretty much in control of the whole episode. Everything revolved around him. So he, in terms of value to the storyline, he was definitely the most important. For this specific episode, I think you've talked me into Polster being my MVP of the week, just for the fact that a lot of this episode revolved around parties. The fun party had Polster. The sucky party did not have Polster.
Hit the air horn on this.
Oh, yeah.
Full agreement.
Yep. There you go. We'll put it in post. But yeah, so Polster was my guy.
Yeah, I have to wholeheartedly agree. I'm glad I was able to talk you into this. Polster is the MVP. One, he gave sound advice when needed. Two, always there as a friend.
Whoa.
Three, enthused by parties. How can you not like that? Four, wasn't at the bad party. Clearly more popular. Five, you know, great style with that party hat by Heineken. How can you not love that?
Yep.
I mean, if he's not in future episodes, MTV might get a sternly worded letter, and we're going to need a season four of Laguna Beach just to get a wrap up and get him more involved.
I agree. Polster, congratulations. You are week one's Dark Horse MVP of the week.
Out of nowhere.
Yep. Out of nowhere. All right. So what else do you got for me?
What is your favorite quote of the whole episode?
Mm-hmm. So this one, as many great scenes and quotes as there were on the episode, this was a no-brainer for me. This was too easy. Easiest question you could ask. We hyped it up when we were discussing the episode.
Yep.
For anyone looking for it, is yours going to be the same one?
I we're on the same wavelength. I am just waiting for you to speak those sweet, angelic words.
All right. I hope I do it justice. I know we hyped it up. I hope it's worth it. Spoiler alert, it is. My favorite quote was from Blonde Guy at the end of the party. The final word on the pilot episode of this show is skinny dip sesh. Later.
I mean, It's unbelievable how little this guy is in the episode and how much that resonates, I think, with everyone.
He was probably like number two or three now on my MVP list after Poulsen, yeah. Just for getting the last word in.
And that throughout the whole episode or the whole party scene, he only talked about skinny dipping. He was involved in the setting up the skinny dipping, and now he's following through with his claim. However, as you're saying, this was the final words. This was not the final words of the episode, though.
Oh, it wasn't. It was the final words of the party.
No, the final word of the episode was Lauren saying no to the skinny dipping later sesh.
I think I was too distracted by the skinny dip sesh.
Yeah, as I was going through and I was looking for my quotes and like really getting in depth, I had another watch through and that skinny dipping sesh later, and she's just like, no, so dejected, and then no more talking with the somber music, and then she goes to the railing and looks over. It was just Scorsese-esque, I would say.
Well, that's three scorching hot takes here. We're going to have to calm down a little bit here, so probably a good time for a little break. All right, and we are back. We have one more game to play here, and it is called Today in History. So this episode aired on September 28th, 2004. Sam, I have five questions and five categories, and I am irrationally competitive. So this is going to be a running theme throughout the season, and we are going to take points on who knows the most about what happened during those air dates in 2004. Are you ready for these questions?
I am prepped and ready to go.
Category one, famous birthdays. This fellow MTV star turned 25 on this day. Let's hope he didn't make a jackass out of himself while celebrating.
Is it Bam Margera?
That is correct. Yeah! Woo! One for one. Okay.
I was going back and forth on a couple names.
Oh, man. I thought this was an iffy one for you, but I knew you watched enough MTV to know.
I was all over it.
All right. Category two, music. This singer may have settled down with a Super Bowl winner, but on this day, her song Goodies was the number one song on the Billboard Hot 100.
Is this... what? Not Ciara. Is this... what's her... is it Ciara?
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
It is Ciara! That's super cute! That's amazing!
I'm really glad that I was trying to say Cassie... But then I just went with Ciara because I couldn't remember who Cassie was.
All right. Entertainment. On this day, this funny man put in a 5-year notice from his job. Unfortunately, once he left, all the laughs turned into a lot of drama.
Conan O'Brien?
No, Conan was the one who got screwed. It was Jay Leno who put in a 5-year notice.
Damn, that was my second one.
Category 4, technology. Russian hackers may have dominated the news in 2016 with their email hacks. But on this day, this software company released a new update to protect people from email scams called phishing.
Kaspersky?
I don't know who that is, but that's wrong. The answer is, I don't know if it's McAfee or McAfee.
Oh, McAfee.
McAfee, yeah, the virus scam.
Damn it.
Last one, sports. On this day, this English soccer team lost to the Greek side Olympiakos in the UEFA Champions League group stage. A loss that should have ended all hope. Against all odds, though, they avenged this and went on a fairy tale run to win it all.
Liverpool.
Damn right it is.
Woo!
That is correct.
If I got that one wrong, I would have to not be your friend anymore.
Yes, exactly. All right, great job. So 3 out of 5. Next week, you will try to stump me with some more September 2004 knowledge, or I guess it'll be October. So one more thing before we go, where are they now? A tribute to our MVP of the week, Poulsen. So a couple of websites had some stuff about him, and I looked through his Instagram and his LinkedIn profile. So he's still on the map. So where are they now? Today we focus on our favorite party enthusiast, Poulsen, or Lauren Poulsen. Since the show, he got his degree from
Cal Poly, good school, and has been working as a graphic designer with stints in Oregon and now in New York City. Based on his Instagram, it looks like he's mellowed down from his partying to friend get-togethers and brunch. So you can find him on Instagram at Lauren Polster or on Lauren or at laurenpolster.com. All right, on that note, we will wrap this up after this quick break. All right, welcome back, and that great song you've been hearing throughout the episode was Dream by Tessa Violet from her EP Holloway. You can find her at Meek a Kitty, MeekaKittty, on Twitter and YouTube. Her EP Holloway is available on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you can buy or stream music. The links will be on the podcast description.
Find us at Coming Clean Pod on Twitter, Facebook, and Medium. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/comingcleanpod or email us at coming.clean.pod@gmail.com, or you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, well, I guess that's it for the first episode of the Coming Clean Podcast. Tune in next week for episode 2. Sam, good talking to you.
Marty, it's always a pleasure.
All right, worldwide peace, y'all.
And always keep it fully decked.